Hey guys, it's Will here, and I've got a quick message for you guys as we go into this episode of Turncloaks. I want to talk to you a little bit about an update for the podcast as a whole and for Encounter Roleplay, which is, of course, what I do for a job. So we have taken on a sponsor for the show. It's pretty exciting for us because it actually secures a fair amount of financial stability for me running this job, Encounter Roleplay, all the Twitch streams, all the podcasts. But it also means that I get to show off to you guys and give you guys a special deal on a bunch of fantastic dice, because we've been sponsored by dndice.co.uk, and they have some incredible dice, some incredible pouches, dice trays as well over there. Now, I didn't want to just take any sponsor for the show and for Encounter Roleplay as a whole. I've actually turned down a fair amount of offers for ads running on the Turncloaks podcast, because really respect the audience that we found here, really respect your guys' time. And didn't want to give you guys something that was, you know, kind of just rubbishy and something that you wouldn't be using. So these dice are something that you guys, I think, will feel and find a great deal of value in. You'll be able to get a 5% discount. There's a link down below. You can use the code EncounterRoleplay in order to get it. Some incredible dice. I suggest you go take a look at the acrylic alchemy dice because they are just beautiful. I've got a set here and my goodness, my friends, they are some of the nicest dice that I've come across. And when I saw them, I thought, you know what? Yes, let's take the sponsorship. These are some dice that you guys can use. These are some dice that you guys are going to love. They do international shipping. You get that 5% discount off there and it helps keep the show running. And that's the most important thing for us here. On top of all the Twitch live streams we do, the website that we run, the YouTube series that we do as well, on top of these podcasts that we're continuing to expand and do each week for you guys, to take on a sponsorship, to get some stability, and to make sure we can continue to do this for many, many hundreds of years, because we don't want to stop this Turncloak strain. We love you guys as cloakers. Hope you guys check out the link down below, and in the future, these ads will be nice and short for you guys. But love you guys. Stay safe out there, cloakers, and enjoy the episode. Hello everybody and welcome back to Turncloaks, the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition Actual Play Podcast presented by Encounter Roleplay. My name is Will, I'm a D&D sex icon and I'll be your Dungeon Master for tonight as we head once again into the Heart of Darkness and see if anything can return. Let's go around, let's figure out who we are, who we're playing. Let's start with Sydney.
Hello, it's me, Sydney, ready to die. I'm playing Ari, a third level half-elf rogue.
Awesome, awesome. We also have Joseph with us tonight. How are you doing, Joseph?
Oh, just wonderful in every sense of the word, absolutely. I'm playing Tamarin, the currently very distressed human ranger of the group.
Excellent, excellent. We also have Josh with us tonight. How are you doing, Josh?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm playing Luna, the human third level shadow monk, who he went in first. Nothing bad ever happens from going in first. Super excited.
Incredible. And last but not least, we have Tool Squaw.
Yeah, Alistair's feeling very exposed and vulnerable right now. Alistair is our plague doctor, who in this low magic world is what a cleric of the grave is known as. And yeah, this is gonna hurt.
Oh yes, time to break some hearts. Last week, to remind you guys, Aurea had a conversation with Dr. Bowman. A very interesting little conversation there. They left, went back to the safe house, hashed it out with Luna, had a good shouting at, and Alistair revealed himself in his new form. And the party decided that two of them would go to the temple to deliver the last crate. Two of them, Tamarin and Luna, would go to meet with Tiala at the Tanners. Now, I won't spoil anything for both sides of our players, but if you listened to last week's episode, you know that some things went down there. They then returned to the safe house, and upon entrance, Luna has seen six guys in the room along with Tiala. who has a dagger to her throat. There are several crossbows pointed at the party, and there is this gentleman who seems to be the leader of this group, who you would recognize to be Wick's men, Jasper Wick's men from the Barksdale Boys. But he's wearing his big shaggy overcoat, big unkempt beard, and general kind of hunched back demeanor to him. And he has said, "Welcome home!" And that's where we'll pick up tonight's story. He bids you all to enter. "Come on, come on. Walk in, walk in. Fucking get inside, shall we? No time to be wasted."
"How can we be of service?"
"Oh, I don't need anyone to service me right now, little fella, but if I do, then I will let you know. So, which one of you is Tamarin?"
"That'd be me."
"That'd be you." Looks you up and down. "All right, not much to you, but all right. So I got your sister here. Caught this one, yeah?"
"Indeed you do."
"And as you might see, my man has a dagger to her throat, ready to slice it all open like a nice bit of pie."
"Yes, he does."
"Yeah. Bit of cherry pie, I reckon. Well, she, there, ready to be killed, just so you're aware. Just so we're all on the same playing field here, I will slit her fucking throat open. And I don't give a shit about it, all right? Because I don't know who the fuck she is, to be honest. But I know that she's related to you. And I know that she has told me something a little bit about Warren Dervish. Yeah? Jasper Wick's man."
"Yes."
"Yeah?"
"Ah, so you can confirm that."
"She has sung like a fucking songbird, mate. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I've got Dervish as well. Yeah? Got him as well. So, what we're dealing with here is you guys ain't friends with Mr. Wick, from what I could gather. Now, be fucking honest with me, because it was again a girl with a fucking throat, you know, everywhere, blood. Fucking horrible it would be. You'd have to clean this up from the carpets for weeks. So for the sake of the fucking carpets, why don't you just tell me?"
"We got roped in to making some deliveries, and that's the extent of our relationship with him."
"All right, what's in the fucking boxes that he gave you?"
"The death of the city."
"All right, vague, but
Wick
I like
is an
it.
Ignorant man."
"That was very fucking poetic, and I appreciate that, but could you be a bit more fucking specific, mate?"
"Poison. Vials that will turn this whole city into a mindless mass of death."
"Right, so, here's a thing. I work for Mr. Wick, yeah? One of his boys. He rules over a bunch of us in Barksdale. But me on my good self, I'm not so into killing the whole fucking city, right? So I find myself working for a man who's willing to fucking kill everyone here, including myself. Which, as a gangster myself, I can appreciate, I suppose. I can respect that about the guy. But at the same time, I can't really see fucking everyone getting killed here, because what am I going to fucking do if they're all dead, eh? So I find out what's going on. I catch this one. Tells me about Dervish, yeah? And all this poison stuff, what's going on around the city. And I can't have none of that on my fucking territory, yeah? So, we've got to find ourselves a solution to this problem, you and I. Else, I mean, I'll fucking kill the girl, of course, and I'll fucking kill all of you. But I'd rather not fucking have to, do you understand? I'd rather not fucking have to kill every fucking single one of you.
Because, what do you propose?
Mate, I'm not fucking proposing to no one."
"Then tell us what you want."
"What I fucking want. First of all, let me give you something that you want as a gesture of my good fucking will, which is not insubstantial." And he gestures up towards the two guys on the stairs. They walk upstairs briefly and bring down Dervish, who has a black eye and clearly has been beaten. Throw him down onto the floor. "This is your fucking rat, mate. And this is your fucking mess. So, I give this gentleman to you to do with as you fucking please. Personally, if I were you, I'd fucking go at him with several knives all at the same time, simultaneously fucking go in there with a knife into his mouth, maybe remove some teeth, maybe have some fun with the tongue. That's just a personal suggestion of mine. Okay? Now that we've got some fucking goodwill, I'd respect that. You guys are, you know, you got your own fucking thing going on, but seeing as I am willing to fucking kill anyone that's here, you should play by my rules. I would like to fuck Jasper Wick." And I don't mean that in a base way. I mean, I want to fuck him.
What do you want us to do?
You talk my language?
As closely as I can follow, yes.
Right. Good, 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 good. So, he needs to be Atlas. And I figure that you sort of have a vested interest in getting rid of him as well, because there's this whole price over your head, gang's watching you, they're going to fucking kill you. They've been watching you all the time. Let's be real. Yeah?
Yeah.
So, why don't you and I come up with some kind of plan to fucking get rid of him? And I can also tell you this much. Jesper Wick might be a clever guy, might be running the game, but there's got to be someone that is pulling his strings. Because these fucking vials didn't come from fucking nowhere, yeah?
My thoughts exactly. We are of the same mind on some of your suggestions. And he looks at Dermish.
Yeah, he's just like on the ground, you know, whimpering.
By any chance, do you, being on the inside and of your planning and means, have any idea where the boxes came from before Jesper got a hold of them?
First of all, can somebody get me some fucking tea?
And one of the men just like runs to get a kettle and put it on the fire. Get thirsty. Yeah, boxes and all that. Well, you know what? I don't happen to know myself because I'm not in the shipping area. However, if we were to go there, bust up his joint, I reckon we could find pretty much every fucking thing that he's been up to. He keeps it close to his chest. Won't even tell me his best mate.
Mm.
But I presume that you can't go there yourself and maintain your illusion of being on his side.
I don't want to do it all lonesome. And I figure that you's lot got some special stuff going on, don't you?
We do. But if you're asking us to risk our lives...
Mate, I'm not fucking asking you anything. Eh? Do I need to be more... Thank you for the tea. You want some?
No, thank you.
Yes.
Want some fucking tea? There you go. Get them some fucking tea right now. They're fucking thirsty.
We should make this a proper planning session.
Yeah, take a fucking seat if you want. Do whatever the fuck you want. I'm not asking you nothing. I'm telling you what's going to fucking happen. Okay? You can decide on the manner of which this is going to happen.
Regardless.
But it's very much like a fucking bird, right? You guys are a fucking bird right now. And I'm the fucking one that sends you out to a destination. I don't give a fuck which way you go. You could go left, you could go right. In the end, you end up in the same fucking destination. You see what I'm saying?
For sure.
Right.
You're my fucking pigeon. That's what you are. You're fucking pigeons. I like pigeons. I keep them. This is good tea.
It's reassuring.
So what we need to do is... go to Wick, somehow get in there and figure out the origins of these boxes
and
things.
We're not going to fucking speak to the guy. We're going to fucking bust up his joint, sweetheart.
Well, what do you get out of that exactly, other than his death and then all of his allies coming after you?
Oh, sweetheart, let's be honest. If he goes, then I'm the one that's in power around here. There's been a few folks around here that haven't been taken too kindly to the way that Wick's been running things. A couple of friends of mine have learnt about these fucking crates as well. We're not too happy about this whole Death of the City thing, right? So, if we could get in there, bust out the whole place, fucking kill them all. Fucking go to town on him, get some fucking knives. Maybe go in on the eyeballs of him. I'm suggesting the eyeballs just as a point of fact, but it's completely optional. We go in there, I take it over. I fucking run the joint. You get all the shit that you want. I get what I want. Everybody's fucking happy.
So... a good old-fashioned assassination.
Yeah, it's a fucking bust-up, mate.
Mm. Yes, a bust-up. Alistair nods. Are you able to help us get him alone? A distraction, something, with your boys?
I could probably get you inside, yeah.
You know Wick. Is he a man trained in combat?
I reckon he could punch you up, to be honest. Yeah, I reckon he could.
But not unbeatable.
Right, he's not a fucking, I don't know, knight, mate. He's just a gangster, isn't he?
Gangsters get in fights. Does he have a bad knee or anything similar that we might be able to exploit?
Mate, I do not know the fucking condition of his fucking knee.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not his fucking doctor, yeah?
Alistair kind of smiles and goes, I'll have to show you some of my work sometime.
Yeah. Sure, fucking whatever. So, point of fact being, vis-a-vis, We need to get you in there so you can fucking kill the guy. Yeah? Well, I'm going to be there as well. We're all going to be fucking kill him. Then I'll fucking walk in, yeah? Once my fucking pigeons have arrived. And then I own the place.
All right. Well, what if you bring us in almost as prisoners? And you act like you're bringing him some sort of gift, something to take his frustration out on.
I like that. I like that. Like a fucking punching bag. A human fucking punching bag.
Exactly.
I like that.
Well, he was expecting us to return after the crates, but as you said, everyone's been watching us and knows that we did not follow his instructions, so certainly there's the pretense of you having watched us and not obeyed.
Yeah, fucking pretense. We haven't been watching you at all, mate. We've been fucking watching everything that you've been doing, just so you know.
So that's what we do then. You bring us in, almost as sacrifices, and when he thinks he has the upper hand, we attack. All of us.
Fucking sounds good to me, sweetheart.
I assume he's aware of me, even though I was not originally with the party, correct?
Right, we pretty much know where you are. That's how we fucking found you here.
Well, you have me on your side. It sounds like we both want the same thing. Seeing...
That's right, we're fucking mutual allied people, you and I. Like-minded folks.
Right. Both like fucking teeth. Seeing as you don't need leverage over me anymore, could I kindly request that you stop pointing that knife at my sister's throat?
Yeah, I guess so. Guess that's only fair, innit? I'm a fair man. Name's Stony Tim, by the way. The guy takes the knife away from her throat. She breathes a deep sigh of relief. Pleasure to meet the acquaintance of all of you.
I look at Dermish. So, we believe he still has information to tell us, yes?
Mate, he's yours. You do whatever the fuck you want of him, to be honest. But tomorrow night, we're busting up Barksdale, okay? So we'll meet you here.
Very good.
And if, I mean, this is goes without saying, but if you wish to leave town or leave our business arrangement, which we have set up, which is, in my fucking eyes, holy. Fucking holy it is what we've just done here. This is the act of gods. If you would leave that, I, as the priest of this ordination, would have to fucking come and kill you all, one by one, right? Fucking, probably, you know, I'll probably go out the liver, maybe some kidneys, you know, probably get right up in there with some knives and just have a little root around and see what I can find.
We've got the idea, yes.
I think we get it.
Right. Good. Just wanted to make sure you got that in case you didn't get it before. Vis-a-vis me killing you.
I don't think you'll have to worry about that.
We'll try not to make pies out of ourselves.
Right, yeah, fucking, you'd be a fucking apple pie, you would, sweetheart. Looks at Tamarin. I'd eat you right fucking up.
Alistair just sort of smiles at him and goes, at some point I'll have to teach you how to keep them alive. That's where the real fun starts.
I just like having a root around myself.
With a menacing grin.
I like this one. I like him. He's all right. He's all right. He likes his tea as well. All right. Well, business has been concluded, in my opinion. Gentlemen, ladies, it has been a pleasure to meet you all. Do not let me come here and fuck you all, because I do not want to fuck you. Yeah? Don't make me fuck you. Because I don't want to, and that would be very displeasing to me as a person to have to fuck you individually. Instead, let us together fuck Jasper Wick.
Can we assume that this house is now under your protection and we don't need to be concerned about any other unexpected people wanting tea?
Yeah, there shouldn't be too many midnight tea visits whilst we're around. Put some stick about.
We appreciate that.
And he and his men begin to walk out. And he just pushes past anyone that would be in his way. See you all later. Fuckity bye.
Tomorrow night.
Yep. Tomorrow night. Barksdale.
Ari starts to walk over to Dermish and shouts back and says, thank you for the gift.
You're welcome, my little fucking pigeon. Deal with your rat.
Tam puts his hand to his head and just collapses to the floor.
Yeah, Tiana's like, almost passed out from all of the stress. What the hell was that? And Dermish is just like, he's like picked himself up and he's in the farthest corner of the room that he could possibly get to. And now listen,
I'm not involved in any of this. I don't know who those people are or what they were talking about.
Luna walks over to him, just stands in front of him. They're going to ask you some questions. And every time you don't give them an answer that they like, I'm going to take my anger out on you, which is not without its... Well, you'll catch on pretty quick.
You should let me go. Tamron, think of your mother.
My mother trusted you. And you betrayed her.
You're going to take the word of that creature, whatever the hell was...
I take the word of my sister.
And we take the word of the priest at the temple.
Yeah, his face, like, falls. Don't know.
Tam gives an inquisitive look to...
What you're talking about.
Alistair. Yeah.
Ari will turn back to Tamron and say, this is the one that made the vials.
He's our alchemist. And Alistair goes, I'll be right back, and heads upstairs.
Ari will reach into her pocket and pull out the vial that she got from Luna earlier and look at Dermish and say, I think this one might just have your name on it. It's like you made it for yourself.
No, there's been a big misunderstanding here. You see, I am an alchemist. I help clean the water. I'm well esteemed as an alchemist. You can ask anyone around town.
Oh, I know you are. And she, like, shakes the vial, and she's like, you've been doing this for a while, quite successfully.
Now, listen, I might be an alchemist, but I didn't come up with that, okay? I am just following orders here.
Whose orders?
Following.
Listen,
Whose orders?
I'll tell you everything, just don't hurt me. And let me go afterwards. I promise I'll leave the city.
About this time, Alistair comes downstairs wearing his normal outer cloak and carrying his bag. He does not have his mask on at this point. And I just sort of look to Luna. Could you bring him to the table, please? A seat will be fine for now.
Luna smiles to this man. Do you have anything else you want to add to that final statement? Anything at all? Do you want to embellish?
Let me tell you everything, and I'll...
You keep saying you're going to tell us everything, but you're not actually telling us everything, and that's starting to really irritate me. But it's okay, because I'm about to clock off, and you're about to deal with someone who knows human physiology. And that'll be a learning experience for you, I promise.
Yeah, he looks over towards Alistair. Right.
Like I say, I was just following orders. 10 years...
Here's an order for you. Go and sit in that chair over there.
One by one, Alistair is taking out his instruments and laying them on the table as he had packed them all away since he had packed up his things. You know, first comes out like the hook knife, and then comes out other different probes and things. And lastly, he brings out and lays down Mercy on the table and goes, you will have a seat, won't you, Dermish?
He like very reluctantly like takes a seat down, and his, you know, sweat just pouring from his brow. Now, let me say, years ago when I was a courtier, the Emperor's courts, that's when they got me. You see, I didn't have any choice in the matter.
Who is they?
I don't know exactly. I know this much. They had my daughter, Shenan. I couldn't do anything. At first, it was just small things. Pass a note to a courtier in the halls, arrange a meeting, make sure that there's a safe house for a meeting to happen in, that sort of thing. Use my connections, you know? And, well, I thought that I would do anything to help her. And so I did, and it was always notes and letters, and then more recently, Jasper Wick. I would report to him everything that I did, everything that I heard. In the court, I would run through him, and he told me. He told me that I would get her back if I went to the Camperon household, and if I ingratiated myself there.
When was the last time you saw your daughter alive?
10 years ago. I have to believe. But I saw Wick. He told me to go to the Camperon household to make myself a member of that household, and so I did. And from there, the instructions came that I was to make this recipe.
What goes in the recipe?
It's not exactly.
Dal pulls out the mask, and it bites into his face, and you see almost a shudder go through Alistair's. Now, that's better.
I don't harvest ingredients. I am given them, and I just make. It's a dangerous substances to be dealing with.
So you will be able to fully recount the method with which you make it and what the ingredients look like.
Yes.
And smell like.
Yes, I'm one of the only people that know how to do it. If you kill me, then you'll never know.
Oh, but you misunderstand entirely. Our friend here, he is a crow. Crows don't kill people. Crows keep people alive for very long stretches of time. Even when everything in their body starts to fail them, even when they wish for death, a crow can keep you alive.
Oh, I know.
So, what I'm hearing is I kill you and no one can ever make this formula again.
No, they just gave it to me. There are others, they know.
You're a smart man, educated. You can't tell me that everything that went into this was a mystery.
I have my suspicions.
Shall we hear about those? Or shall I have my friend put you on my table?
Yes, of course. There, first of all, there's blood. Lots of it as well.
Human?
From where?
I believe human, but not like any strain that I've seen before. This is not any normal blood. Not a blood type that I've seen before. Lots of it. But all.
Would you recognize it if you saw it again, this strain?
Of course, yes. Of course I would. Yes, I would.
Alistair, may I speak with you for a moment?
Certainly.
Luna will take Alistair to one side, out of earshot.
Headphones off, flavor players.
Alistair looks at you.
He looks down at his hands.
What are you thinking? I don't know how much you've told Alistair, so I'm going to let you tell him.
If the blood is human, but not like anyone else, any normal human, then what if it was something like the blood of a gateway?
Alistair looks at you. But we thought there were many
you
gateways.
They told me that they wouldn't harm me. If they kill me, what does my body stop producing?
And blood is notoriously difficult to keep viable.
If someone is dead, so you need live subjects.
Alistair looks at him.
This is going to really hurt, isn't it?
Actually, believe it or not, I can make things not painful as well. But
that's a relief.
It's not going to be fun. I'm going to need it fresh from the heart. You'll turn your head to one side, please.
You should probably inform the others before you start cutting into my heart.
I'm not going to cut into your heart, just your neck.
I still think that it would be a good idea to.
Yes.
Considering my reputation and how Ori feels towards me at the moment.
Yes, Ori should be our voice of reason.
Yeah, headphones on for those two.
Alistair motions
Luna will go back and stand guard over this guy.
Just, I look to Ori. Luna and I are being impulsive, but I think his theory is sound. We're wondering if our good friend Dermish here, the blood of which he speaks, is the blood of gateways. And if he is able to recognize it, Luna is willing to donate.
Ugh. Well, I guess it's worth a shot, then.
I need to speak with Dermish for a moment. I'm thinking sitting at a table is probably not the place where he needs to analyze it. So getting this answer might not be as straightforward as we had hoped. So I walk back over.
Mm-hmm.
Dermish, this blood.
Yes.
How do you recognize it? Is it a scientific method? Or is it quite obvious to the naked eye?
Oh, we'll be able to tell.
Interesting. Luna, you might want to be lying down for this, and I motion to the table.
Luna sort of looks to the table, looks back to our guest and says, I'll keep it warm for you. And he, like, feigning complete and total confidence in the crow shitting himself inside, he's going to lie down on the table and he's going to sort of, the side that Dermish can't see, he just digs his nails into the table.
And on the side that Dermish can see, and I'm will if you allow me to, basically similar to how my mask, as soon as I pull it off, that the wound seals up right behind it, to show both as a show of power and as a show of what I'm doing, I put my hand onto Luna's eyes and go, understand that I'm doing this because I'm trusting you. If I no longer trust you, we're going to do this the hard way.
It'll work.
And I take Mercy and slice his artery open so the blood just spills on the table and then it seals up right behind.
Into a cup, into a vessel.
Okay, so I'll...
Yeah, have it ready. And
yeah, have it ready to capture it so that he has something to look into.
Yeah, gets it and says, looks over towards the window. Do you mind? I need the window.
Okay.
Oh.
I mean, Luna should be stable. I mean, I've sealed the wound. So I follow him over. I have Mercy close by.
He opens up the window so that you can breathe the night air, and the moon is shining bright. And he holds the cup out into the moon, and you see where it was once crimson red, it just turns black like shadow.
Oh, God.
See?
I knew it.
The blood of mages illuminated in the moonlight. At first, I didn't realize, but then a beam came through my laboratory, and I saw, and I thought it was strange and just a trick of the light, but then I realized that there was something strange about it.
He looks quite excited and relieved that he was right.
Very good, Dermish. Look, you're being useful.
Good, yes. Yes.
So, a lot of blood. What else?
Right. Well, there is a plant as well. I'm not sure where it grows, but it's thick and barbed.
Tam, come over.
Mm-hmm.
Describe it. See, maybe our friend here knows much of nature.
He says, it's dark and there are no leaves on it. It's just almost like a series of roots. And from it come barbs, sharp enough to prick one's finger. Tam, you can roll me a nature check.
18.
18's pretty good. This is most likely the root of a plant which you've heard about growing up towards the northern reaches in the forests. It is sold as a drug in various forms. You can, like, you know, it goes by a bunch of different names, but its most common one is Barb that it goes by. You can cut it up, you can even smoke it. It has a great deal of hallucinogenic effects, but it is a powerful reagent, basically. It reacts strongly with a lot of different things.
Relay that information to the group.
And I've sort of put my arm around Dermish. Look how well you're doing.
Yes.
And?
Well, it sounds silly, but a pinch of salt.
I look at him and go, it's amazing how powerful something like salt can be. And sort of smiles. Not silly at all, in fact.
Good, good. Well, that's what goes into it.
Now the how.
Well, the blood in first. The barb is chopped. Thin pieces. Had to be very careful of it. You have to wear gloves. It's highly toxic if you were just to touch it. Squeeze the extracts of the roots into the pot. And lastly, you just throw in some salt. It's really that easy. Just dangerous to make. The blood, if not treated properly, can react very badly with the other ingredients.
Understood. And yeah, literally hundreds of vials you've created just here for the city? These were all made by you, or were there others? Quite an industrious man you are.
Yes, well, I'm not the one making all of them. Someone gave me all of the ingredients, all of the methods and the recipe, so I imagine it must be others.
You have to have fresh shipments.
Right. That's...
How... You can't keep blood.
Or does this not act like normal blood? Does it stay fresh?
I believe... I believe they do something to it. Keeps it a preservative of some kind. I'm not sure what exactly.
How long can you keep it before you can no longer use it?
It lasts at least a month.
You've been most helpful, Dermish.
Good. Good.
I look to Ori and sort of turn him away from me. And
Luna also looks to Ori.
And I look to Tam. Actually, I probably look more at Tam. Sort of Ori for permission and Tam for the nod. I'm quite done with him. Do you have anything you need?
So you can let me go now.
Tam puts his hand on his sister's shoulder and says, go home, sis. Tell mother what you know of Dermish. And that he'll be put out of service.
Are you going to kill him, Tam?
We don't have any other choice.
There are places we could take him. Outside the city.
For mother's...
Places he'd never be found.
She says, for mother's heart, I will say he left.
Do whatever you have to. Stay safe this time.
He travelled south and isn't going back.
That seems a fitting lie. Stay safe, Sifs. Give my best to mother.
Stay safe. And she looks over towards Alistair. Brother.
I wish we could have met under nicer circumstances.
She looks scared of you.
Yeah.
And she, do you sense some rejection in her eyes?
Absolutely.
And she turns and leaves.
Ari will sort of like back up against the wall and just sink to the ground and look a little bit stunned, kind of confused. She looks up at Tamron and says, you understand that we have done exactly what he has done. We got involved. At first it was small, just deliveries, just safe houses, trying to protect a daughter.
The means may be the same, but the goal is different. We want peace where he wants chaos.
He doesn't want chaos, he wants his daughter back.
We can't take him anywhere, and we can't hide him here, and we can't let him go. I know what we have to do, but I I can't watch it.
Luna turns to the man and rests a hand on his shoulders. What is your daughter's name?
He says, Shannon. Name Shannon.
Her mother?
Dead.
There's no coming back from what you've done. You know that.
He nods. Make sure she's safe.
If I can, I will.
I look to him. Or I guess I'm sort of my arm on his shoulder, sort of holding him so he can't get away. I assume he's probably shaking.
Oh, yeah.
Did you care for Seraphine?
He says, I knew what I was doing was wrong. It broke my heart to hurt her. But I did not love her. I knew what I was doing was wrong. I couldn't let myself.
I understand. I look to Tam almost for permission. Perhaps your daughter can find a home with her when this is all done, just as I found a home with Giano when he did what must be done.
Seraphine's a good woman. If you can find Shannon, I'm sure she would take her in. There would be no better mother.
Tam? Brother?
Tam has, after the initial rage of figuring out that this man has lied to his mother, used her, he kind of starts to see what is going on and looks at him.
You need only know that I forgive you. Even though what you've done is unforgivable.
He just nods.
And then he looks to Alistair.
Luna just takes a step away.
I'm going to do something interesting, if you don't mind. Alistair, after all of this, does feel some pity for this man. And with all we've learned lately and with what we've been through, he's seen too much blood in the last days. Sit down for me. And he sits... just lost his name. Dermish. He sits Dermish down in a chair across from him. And Alistair takes his holy symbol of Sethanin, and it's a circle, like the moon, like the full moon with a crescent arc in it. And he gives it a spin on the back of his hand and starts dancing it across his things. Look at this medallion. And he stares into his eyes and catches his eyes. And think of your daughter. And as it spins, you see his eyes become blank as he becomes basically hypnotized. And Alistair casts through this medallion and this little trick that he's doing, hold person on him. But instead of just paralyzing him, he actually clinches down on his lungs and gives him a quiet and painless and pretty instant, stops his heart, stops his lungs, taking hold person, which I know is not the true mechanic, but in this case, instead of taking out the artery, he basically
slumps to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
Ari comes over to Alistair and sort of takes his hand and looks down at Dermish on the ground and just says, "It was inevitable, wasn't it?"
Yes. I think it was, but not pleasant. Any one of us could have been used in a similar way for our knowledge. I'm afraid one of us, he looks to Luna, might have the same difficult decisions to make very soon.
Luna's sort of staring out the window at this point. I have something to ask. And he glances over his shoulder towards Ori. If I am this gateway and I am somehow making this worse, and if I am destined to end this
world. If I have that power within me, then there's a chance that there is no peace to be had, and while I still draw a breath, I know I don't always think things through, and I know I'm very angry, but since they explained what it was that I was, it's become very apparent to me that this only ends one way. And I was so focused on that I stopped thinking about the consequences my actions might have on people outside myself. If it does come down to it, if I have to leave, I mean, you know what I mean. Could you look after one more child for me?
She comes over to him and she says, "This is just another reason why we need to keep you alive and safe and with us. For the sake of everyone and for the sake of your daughter. But I promise you, I will protect her with my dying breath."
"We all will."
"I'm sorry."
Alistair puts his hand on Luna's shoulder and he goes, "I'm not sure if you're alone in this." And while this was going on, he's actually gotten another container because Alistair needs to know. And he slices his own artery and captures the blood, and trembling somewhat, walks over to the moonlight to see if it is truly all magic or if it's just Luna.
"It is black as midnight."
"So, you see, it's not the easy solution after all. I look to Tam and to Ari. I don't know if you want assurances."
"I think we can save ourselves the bloodshed, and I don't think we need to dwell on this. We knew that something was different about all of us. We knew."
"So, any one of us who harbors magic, blood, can become the new source. How many people have disappeared?" And he looks to Tam and Ari.
Ari just says, let's not think about that right now. Our purpose here is to just keep each other safe and just try and blend while we're here." And she goes over to Dermish's body and starts to take off the cloaks that maybe he was wearing or something, and she looks at Alistair and she says, "You can't just keep wearing Luna's dirty cloak if you want to blend in, especially when we're going out tomorrow. So..."
"Yes. Yes, of course."
As Ori is going through it, hand feels something in a pocket, Ori. Something metallic and hard.
She doesn't really indicate this. She just continues going through the motions and tries to almost pickpocket it, whatever it is.
Luna's not paying any attention.
And sort of like check and see what it is. Maybe she can feel it in her hand.
Yeah, you can feel it. It's definitely a key.
So Ari gets the cloak off of him and tosses it to Alistair. And as she does so, she says, "Well, I think I am going to go to bed and try and rest up a little bit for tomorrow." And as she's saying this, she's giving Alistair a look, sort of like a look of intrigue, almost hoping that he follows.
Okay. I mean, Alistair, I think you just pulled his cloak off. Probably. I mean, the reality is Alistair truly doesn't have a whole lot of, you know, basically he has sort of undergarments that go underneath sort of his leathers. I mean, that even just the cloak and stuff. So I mean, I no other way to say it. You know, he basically strips down Dermish to his underclothes and hopes that he can figure out how to way to make this fit for him to have some type of clothes, and also gonna see if what he can do to at least get a little bit of armor underneath of him, because Alistair's not wearing nothing right now for protection. So he goes upstairs kind of with his mind on figuring out what the hell he's going to do, knowing he's going to have to take the mask off again, but is not far behind Arya if she wants to call him over.
Yeah, she looks over and says, Alistair.
And
come here.
He's sort of mid taking off the mask and everything else, and he still is actually just, do you need me or the crow?
Just you.
So I put the mask down again, sort of, it's almost like an addiction, when you and walk over.
She brings him over and she pulls out the lockbox, which she would have told you guys about that she got, but Tamron and Luna both saw her get it. And she says, so, remember this?
Yes, I believe you mentioned it.
She reaches in her pocket and pulls out this key and says, this was in Dermish's pocket.
There's a piece of parchment, small piece of parchment, which is attached to the key. There is one word upon that piece of parchment. It reads, inevitable. And that is where we're going to wrap up tonight's episode
of Turnbook. Oh God.
Okay, by the way, I love the Doctor even more now.
Oh my God.
Every episode. The love, the bromance.
Oh, Alistair wants to meet the Doctor so bad.
Oh man. Well, that is where we're going to leave it for tonight. Unfortunately, my friends, we're back same time next week for more, of course. But let's get around to cast and crew. What do we think of tonight's episode? Where can we find you guys online and read out one of your wonderful 5-star reviews? So let's hear from Sydney first of all.
Oh my God. I'm so conflicted. I'm so conflicted because I'm wondering, like, is this meant to cause my death, or is this meant to be like a mission or something? I feel like me and the Doctor have this nice rapport going on. I don't know. I'm so conflicted and I want to keep going, so I'm going to shut up. I'm Sydney. You can find me everywhere. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all of those things at SydneyAck. You can find me on Encounter Roleplay doing things. I'm the Dungeon Master for WonderQuest, which you can find on Twitter at WonderQuestPod. And you can find me on the D&D channel on Saturdays.
All right. It's all school.
Wow. Yeah, it almost seems like it was like 2 episodes. It's like we begin with awesome with one. Awesome yeah, Stony so Tim long. Tim, and then we end up with all again more revelations and tough with Dermish, man. That was tough.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm Tall Skull. You can find me all over the internet at Tall Skull. And if you go to my Twitter, you can find links to all the other things I'm involved with. And yeah, total bromance. I totally have a man crush on the Doctor, on Dr. Dr. Bowman. Totally.
A healthy respect and appreciation. Excellent. From one Doctor to another. Excellent. Joseph.
Oh, boy. This was a struggle. There's definitely a lot of moral conflicts, I think, going on for everyone with this episode. But it was fun as always, very interesting to play through and figure out what everyone else is thinking as well as Tam. So anyways, you can find me on Twitter at JosephIsNotFast.
All right, then. Well, let us read out one of your wonderful 5-star reviews here on iTunes. This one's from Lucius Praxis.
Lucia.
The top tier.
Sorry.
Lucia, is that you? Oh, man. This podcast is an absolute masterpiece. Will and his players have pulled off something incredible by taking D&D where it often doesn't go. Low fantasy, Game of Thrones-esque style of gameplay and story. Just like Game of Thrones, it works flawlessly because there's a hunger out there for these types of adult stories without fairies and unicorns. I've listened to hundreds upon hundreds of D&D podcasts and stumbled upon this due to their Kickstarter. Back it immediately. And it's a step above the rest. You want to listen to this? Give it a try. Thank you, my friends. That is awesome. And again, exactly what we're going for. What?
Josh.
Did we not do Josh? I completely forgot Josh. I'll tell you why. Because I was looking at the two of them and I was like, Joseph.
Joseph.
And so I was like, I kind of done Josh already. All right, Josh. We'll let that back in. Or fuck it, we won't.
Yeah, <that's...
laughs> I'll be honest, listeners, I forgot Josh.
Oh, wonderful. I wish you'd forget me. I really do. And if you guys want to find out how you can make some of the recipes you've seen in today's show, you can check us out at Turncloaks. Oh, goddamn. Yeah, so I'm super excited for... I'm going to take a leaf out of Stony Tim's book. I'm going to go make myself a cup of tea because I'm stressed and I'm emotional and I cried. You can find me on Encounter Roleplay doing Encounter Roleplay things once I've come back and I'm actually on talking terms with Will again. Fuck you.
Oh, dear, dear. Well, my friends, thank you so much for joining us for tonight's episode. We'll see you in the next one. And can't wait. Until then, try not to roll too many net ones. Want to be here laughing when you do.
Good night.
It's inevitable.
Good night.